a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell not with us this evening, filling in his giant shoes, a guy who also wears large shoes. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, the host of Cougar Sports Saturday as well. Mitch, thanks for being on with me, man.
Yeah, happy to do it, Alex. It feels good to be in here with you, and it's been a long time because it felt like every week when I'd hop on the program, you're like, have you been in the building at all, Mitch? And I was like,
I forgot
been,
to bring...
It's been 10
oh,
weeks.
No. I forgot to bring the Fletch jersey. I still have the Mitch Harper LA Lakers Fletch jersey.
Oh, I'd love that. Number 99.
It's either that or burn it. I mean, so if it's with your permission, you can take it off my hands and have the... So at some point, I've got to bring that in here. We got to kick things off because we're accused quite often of the fact that we have Scott on the show. We get accused of being a big Ute honk program, and so we're gonna shirk those feelings from people that are out there on KSL's Unrivaled this evening as we talk a lot of BYU and a lot of college football, what the season of sport looks like across NCAA Sportville, and how we're supposed to figure out all of this while we're trying to get back to some version of normalcy. It's our 8:05 cut. Right here.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so let's start first with what has BYU been during all of this? Because we talked to Mark Harlan this week, and the conversation was, yes, we've had to have these discussions about the possibility of an all Pac-12 schedule. Yes, we've talked about the fact that you're going to need – coaches have said that across the board, all these groups have discussed what an ideal start looks like for college football. The ideal one already passed, right, in terms of having a normal spring, all those things. But 6 weeks is about what coaches say that they need to have a fall camp, get things kind of up to speed, get guys to where they want them to be. June 1, the NCAA is already allowing teams, if their state and if their schools will allow, for them to have voluntary workouts in small groups. And hearing the Pac-12 say all these things is one thing. BYU and Independent, I'm going to be honest, my neighbors, my friends who are BYU fans, my kids are wondering, what on earth does a football season look like for BYU right now? At 8:08, you know, on May 21st, what are we looking at here right now when it comes to it?
I think as of right now, Alex, I think we're looking at a 12 game schedule. I think BYU is going in with the mindset that they're going to play a full 12 game slate. Now, I will say that BYU has explored all avenues as far as it might be a schedule of Liberties, New Mexico States. I think they understand that's a possibility where you might only have to play Independents that don't include Notre Dame, and you might even see a few teams like Southern Utah and Weber State in the mix as well. I mean, I think they understand that's might be a possibility if college football did go that direction. But I think in recent, like this past week and the last few days, there's been a lot of positive movement, I think, on the college football front, where you're seeing leagues like the SEC, the Big 12, where they're like, we're going to play, and we're going to play the first, as scheduled, the 12-game slate. Like, and
the
I think
state of that's, California already saying that they're going to allow professional sports, like, starting in the next couple of weeks.
And I think there's also a possibility, Alex. I think that college football will move forward. If the Pac-12 wanted to go to the extreme route and maybe play their own schedule, 11 games, where it's just in their conference, I think the rest of the college football world would just move forward. I think the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10. The Big 10 has kind of been quiet through all this, but the ACC as well. I think they would just, the power conferences, they would move forward as is and play without the Pac-12. And I think that would be interesting if that happened, because
there'd be opportunities for BYU.
Opportunities for BYU, because I was looking at it, Alex, and for example, like BYU plays.
Oh, Mitch has already made a dream schedule.
I've made a hypothetical schedule. I was thinking about it. BYU plays Arizona State in Tempe. And I'm like, man, I want to go to that game. I got my airfare. I want to go down to Tempe, see BYU play the Sun Devils. But if that didn't happen, that same weekend in the state of Arizona, Arizona's playing Texas Tech. Well, take those Pac-12 teams out. Maybe BYU and Texas Tech in a game. I think all Cougar fans could get down with that. Kalani and Matt Wells squaring off in a game in either Provo or Lubbock. So I think this could work out very well for BYU. You know, the Pac-12 is an interesting aspect with how extreme they could be. But I think, honestly, Alex, I feel like BYU, as of today, 8:10 p.m., I think we're going to see BYU play a 12-game schedule.
That's optimistic. It's very, but again, the movement that happened this week at the NCAA, I mean, the NCAA are the big, right. And I think the state of California are the ones that are going to be like, that we, I think we looked at and went, well, okay, if somebody's going to drag their feet, it's going to be the NCAA. If somebody's going to drag their feet, the state of California has a lot of power in that, you know, with the 40 million people that live there and all the member institutions that are there in that state. And so to see California saying, okay, we can look at this, you're going to see no fans. And people have talked about a lot of the revenue loss that can happen with that. We're BYU season ticket holders in my house, and my kids are, they love going to these things. What about the possibility of fans going to see six games at LaBelle Edwards Stadium this season?
You know, it's interesting, because I think that's a possibility where we could see empty stadiums. I think that's a possibility. I think that even we could possibly see that with basketball early on in college hoops as well. I don't think that's out of the possibility. And that would be huge, because I remember a few years ago in one of Tom Homo's roundtable conversations with the media, with a few times he talks with the media, I asked him directly. I said, how significant is ticket sales to the revenue streams at BYU? And he's like, it's significant. And I got to think that would be a huge dent to what BYU does. But I think also BYU is a athletic department that always runs in the black. Like, we don't see the official numbers, but BYU is not running in a deficit. They're making money. And I think, honestly, all these programs that we've seen in college sports, the arms race where everyone's got to get the nicest facilities, they got to get the slide in the football complex, that might come to a halt. And honestly, that might be a good thing for BYU, because I'll admit, Alex, it was getting to the point in college football, especially, where you're seeing the salaries, you're seeing the facilities, and you're going, how can BYU keep up? Maybe, you know, with BYU being a little bit more frugal and more, they're going to pay things in full before they even put a shovel right in the dirt on a building. That might be a positive for BYU too, because BYU is, I mean, obviously everyone needs more money, I'm sure, but BYU is not necessarily hurting. They haven't cut athletic programs. They haven't cut staff. BYU is in a good spot right now, and I think that they'll be in a good spot for the foreseeable future.
One thing that I think that a lot of people wondered too, Mark Harlan touched on it with the Pac-12 side of things, because the money part is, and trying to figure out a TV deal that works, the rules are out the window this year. I mean, My thing is I'm confused as to why, you know, they're still going to say, well, not only are we going to be in small groups, they're like, yeah, but the coaches can't be a part of this. This is all voluntary stuff. I'm like, you guys, come on. They had no spring. Why can't the coaches be a part of these workouts from a distance? Have them sitting on the golf cart yelling stuff over the bullhorn, or bringing them over in these groups yelling stuff. Look, you've been to these practices as well as I have. Think about these high visibility, you know, towers these guys are on. Let them yell stuff from up there and let these coaches be a part of it. I just think all bets are off. Let these guys meet with coaches. Let them talk with their position groups. Do it in small groups. Do it in – and you can. I mean, you've got – think about how much work quarterbacks and wide receivers need to go through right now and how much work they've probably already been doing in their parks, you know, in their communities and things like that. These are groups that need to get together now if we're going to figure out how to do this. I'm fine with not having the fans at the stadium. It's a bummer for my kids, right? But you know what? Turning on the TV and watching it is good enough.
We got great TVs,
yes.
All of us. Like it's a good era to have to stay home. Now, if this was 1985, this would not be
no,
a good time to stay
even if
home.
It was the old ESPN Plus years, you know,
yes.
Down in down, those were the years I was watching games in Provo. If I didn't end up going to a game, and so we're in good TV times, and so. BYU is going to, whether or not, you know, the deficit being there or not is one thing. I think everybody knows these athletic programs are going to take a massive hit this year. It's just is going to happen.
Sure.
You're not going to see the windfall that you do generally, and so you're not going to see the same type of movement when it comes to the money. And you have to, and if you can weather that storm, you write it off and say the future is going to be very, very bright. Let's come back, though, because let's talk a little bit about some of I am fascinated by how every big recruit across the country in college basketball is going, I'm whittling my top four schools I'm going to transfer down, and BYU ends up being in the race for everybody, it seems like. Now, we'll talk about that next. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL, honoring the class of 2020.
Now is
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.